you didn't consider Jesus. All he considered was his circumstances. He considered his circumstances. And they became overwhelming, and the devil know how to pile it on. When he gets you in a corner like that, boy, I'll tell you, he'll heap it on you. That's why you need to be involved with good people, have good people in your life. That's why you need to have people that in your life that's going to pray for you, that can encourage you, people that you can go to when you're having a tough time. If you'll humble yourself and say, I got a problem, I don't know what to do about it, I'm going to tell you, it'll save your life. Consider Jesus. All right? Fourth thing, consider your ways. I just read that scripture, Haggai 1:7. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Give careful thought to how you're living. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions here. Are your ways pleasing to the Lord? How you're living your life, does it please God? Is your life an example that other people can follow after? If your life is not an example for other people to follow, then your ways are not pleasing to God. Are you keeping before your eyes things that are not pleasing to the Lord? Do you have things in front of your eyes that's not pleasing to him? Are you habitually speaking words that are not pleasing to the Lord? Are your actions and what you're doing pleasing to the Lord? How you live in your life, is it pleasing God? Is your company pleasing to the Lord? People you hang out with, is God pleased with the company you keep? Is God pleased with the places you go? Is God pleased with the things that you do? I'm asking you to consider your ways. Are you diligently seeking God? Have you lost your desire to please God? I'm going to tell you, I believe that so many people have lost their desire to please God. They no longer think about or live their life to please God. They live them lives to please who? Themselves. People live their life, hey, I'm not pleased. I'm doing this because this pleases me. This satisfies me. This pleasures me. What about God? Shouldn't we all be living our life to please the Lord? Isn't that the example that Jesus gave us? It is. Have you lost your desire to please the Lord? Have you fallen in a trap that's designed to kill your desire to be used by God? Have you lost your focus or your vision to serve God with all your heart? Some people have lost their vision to serve God with all their heart. It's time to let God restore your hunger and your zeal for him. It's time for God to allow him to restore the desire to please him. I'm going to tell you, when we come into this place, this is the body of Christ here today, we should all come in here with a great desire, with great intensity and great fervor to praise God, to worship him, to hear his word. I mean, do you have a fervor for the word of God? Amen. Do you have an excitement about God? Are you excited about the word? Are you excited about worshiping God? Are you excited about what God's doing in your life? We all need to be excited about that. We need to recover our zeal. I don't want you to lose your zeal. The Holy Spirit does not want us to lose our zeal and our enthusiasm and our strong desire of pursuing God. In John 8:29, Jesus said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Look how Jesus lived his life. He said, the Father's with me. He won't leave me. And I only do those things that please him. Now, I looked up that word, please him. That word please also means agreeable. Yeah. So Jesus said, I only do those things that are agreeable to God. If God's not in agreement with what I'm doing, I don't do it. If he's not in agreement with what I'm looking at, I'm not going to look at it. If he's not in agreement with what I'm saying, I better not say it. I better put my hand over my mouth. If God's not in agreement with what I'm doing, I need to change what I'm doing. Amen. And you know what deception is? You know what self-deception is? Self-deception is when you modify a command or instruction given to you by God. It's when you modify something God said to fit your own life. When you do that, then you are self-deceived.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Let's give God a real hand of praise for the first Lord's Supper experience. But you stand to your feet with the word of the Lord opened. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this time of hearing from you. We pray that you'll speak to our hearts, minister to us there, then reveal the principles for us to practice so that we might profit from them and give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Turn your Bibles for this brief moment to Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Recorded are these words. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, seeking after God.
Right.
Seeking after God. Isaiah pens this word, and he, of course, has divine revelation on what God is sharing with the people of God. One of the things that I think is most necessary to understand about this verse and about this word is that God is speaking to his own people.
Amen.
One would think from the onset that God was talking to those who did not belong to him, to the sinners who had no relationship with him, but rather he was talking about sinful Israel. He was talking about his people who had lost their fellowship with him, his people who were called by his name but did not bear the characteristics of his children. And so it was an appeal by God through Isaiah to get them to understand that there are a lot of blessings they're leaving on the table. If you go to verse 1 and walk all the way up through verse 5, you will discover this. Because our time is far spent in this hour, all I want to do is highlight some of the points about seeking after God. First of all, when it says seek ye the Lord, it's talking about a passionate pursuit. Because it is necessary to understand that when you passionately pursue God, you then put into place everything necessary to receive God. You see, God has been reaching out to man, but the problem is man has not recognized it. Man has ignored the attempts of God. Man has not recognized that God was giving him another opportunity. And day after day, time after time, situation after situation, God shows us where he could have ended our lives. He could have allowed our bad choices to be the end and the undoing of us. But he gave us another chance. And yet, even in that, we forget that God was trying to get our attention so that we might passionately pursue him. Amen. Now, when it says, seek ye the Lord, there is a consideration here. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. While he may be found. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, when you are unctioned by the Lord, when God calls you, he is calling you, and in that calling there is what's called a response time. A response time or a window of time. And you are required to respond within a reasonable time. And it is for that time that God calls you that he is drawing you. He's unctioning you. He's urging you. He's trying to get you to understand. I'm trying to get your attention. How does he do that? One, he puts a longing on the inside of you, a vacuum on the inside of you. There's something wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. You know you need to be closer to God. You want to be closer to God. It's a thing where God puts an itch in you you can't scratch. He deals with you where you have to keep coming back to him to get what he wants from you. And so it's an understanding that it is in that time as you passionately pursue him that you recognize that you have a proper period to respond. And see, here's what happens. When you don't respond while he is near, while you have opportunity, while he may be found, then the truth of the matter is he then causes you, when you have deaf ears or when you have a desire to do other things than to turn to him, he then allows you to have a hard heart or hardened heart. And so when he allows your heart to harden, then that means at the same time he's closing the window. He's shutting the door. He's saying to you, you have had opportunity after opportunity, opportunity, and you obviously don't want to meet me on my terms, so I'm going to leave you alone. And my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, when God leaves you alone, You might want to do what you want to do. You might want to do your own thing. You might want to do what pleases you. But when God leaves you alone, I want to tell you there's no trouble like the trouble of being left alone by God. Because there is an emptiness there that no drugs can fill. No other person can feel. No job, no children, no spouse, no pain, no pleasure, no anything can feel but God. And when God closes the window, the door of opportunity on you, then the realities of an eternal hell become a daily reality. Everything that you face at that point, you face without the power and the protection and the presence of a loving God. And you're on your own, and you find out that you've been bamboozled by the devil. You find out all of the stuff that he presented to you were lies, and they were not true, and all that you thought you would be able to bank on, you couldn't bank on, because when God shut the door on you, you didn't realize that it was through his grace that he kept you when you turned your back on him, that it was through his grace that he kept you when you went in the opposite direction, that it was his grace when the devil wanted to do you in. God said, not now. It was his grace. But then when he releases you to a reprobate mind, he tells the devil, have your way with him. And my brothers and sisters, you'll wish for death then without the presence of God. But then the rest of that verse says, call ye upon him when? Listen, call ye upon him while he is near. You call on him. Listen, the first time when this word is presented, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, when you seek him passionately, you're seeking him as our great God, as Jehovah God, as the Lord. And in seeking him, your desire is to find him and worship him. As the creature worships the Creator, you recognize him for who he is. But in the second part, what God says is, call ye upon him while he is near. Now, here again, the responsibility is upon those who have turned their backs on God, on those who have missed God, on those who have sinned against God, on those who were called by his name but didn't act like his children. He's talking to us who have missed him, just as historically he was talking about Israel. And so he says, call ye upon him. So now, this literally means fellowship with God. The first part had to do with recognizing him for who he was or is, and then worshiping him in that same vein. Now, when you call upon him, you're calling upon him as your Father, your Heavenly Father. You have a relationship with him. You now have the opportunity of speaking with him one-on-one and with heart issues. You can tell him the intimacies of your issues and your troubles and your trials, your situations and your thoughts. And all of these things have to do with fellowship, the sweet fellowship that you have only after you know him as your Lord and your God. Then, as the relationship matures, you recognize him as your loving Heavenly Father. And now you're privileged to call upon him while he is near. Near. Listen, to give vent to understanding this is simply to be able to say that when you then have the responsibility and the right to call upon God, it is because you now have relationship that warrants your ability to talk to him for yourself. You see, it's one thing to come to me to tell him. But it's a whole nother thing when you've got the privilege of telling him for yourself. Yeah, you can skip the line and say, I'll dial him up direct. I have his direct number. that reaches him. I don't have to go through the switchboard. I don't have to go through other folk. I can call him up and tell him what I want while he is near. Now remember again, this has to do with fellowship. So fellowship means you've got to be near him. You've got to be close to him. It gives the idea of intimacy with God, because there are just some things, listen at this, if you're talking about two people who are married or close or intimate in different kind of intimate settings, there are things that they will whisper to one another that they won't shout out in a room. I guess ain't nobody married at me, ain't nobody got nobody they love like that. There are just some things in close and intimate fellowship you'll say when they're close, near, because it's for their ears. Oh. And while God is near, there are just some things you can tell him that you don't want everybody else to hear. And so my brother, my sister, when we come to the reality of this word, we must seek God in such a way that we recognize that God desires us to desire him. God made us his choicest creation. And what more would God want than his choicest creation to make him their choice? That's why he gave us free will, didn't make us robots. He gave us a choice as to whether or not we would choose him, choose to do right, choose to love him, choose to obey him. He gave us that right. And if we choose not to, then we suffer the consequences. But he gave us the freedom of choice. And when you desire to seek God the way God wants to be sought after, you talk about an enrichment in life that nothing else can compare with. Amen, amen. Seeking after God in this passionate way brings you to a whole nother level of revelation.
All right.
With God. Sometimes, listen at this, and I'm closing. Sometimes we miss God because we are seeking after things that's not like God. And listen at this. And then sometimes we miss God because he gives us what we're seeking after. Somebody catch that on their way home. I'm so glad that God loves me enough not to give me what I want when what I want ain't no good for me. And no matter how much I pursue after it, I try, I go after it, God won't let it be right because it's not right, and he loves me enough not to allow me to get caught in the enemy's trap forever.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And so when I recognize this, he could have allowed me to have what I wanted. And then let what I wanted destroy me. And say to me, well, you got what you wanted. I know so many of you have heard this story again, but I got to tell it one more time because somebody may not have heard it. There was this man who was so in love with this woman called Mary that he just didn't know what to do with himself. And he loved Mary from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Mary could do no wrong. And he wanted to marry Mary, but Mary didn't want to marry. And when Mary decided she wouldn't marry him, he lost his mind. They put him in an insane asylum. And Mary went on with her life while he was in an insane asylum. One day, there was another man thrown in the asylum, and all he was shouting was, "Mary, Mary, why did you do me like that, Mary? Oh, you know I love you, Mary." And day and night, the man kept crying out about Mary. And finally, that man recognized he was talking about Mary, and he was curious as to wonder if it was the same Mary. And lo and behold, he had a conversation with the man and found out that it was the same Mary. And he said, "Sir, wait, let me understand something." He said, "You mean to tell me you're in here because of Mary?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm in here because I married Mary." And the man said, "Oh my God, I'm in here because I didn't marry Mary." And all I'm trying to tell somebody is, thank God that God loves us enough not to give us what will destroy us, even though we might pursue it passionately. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. To God be the glory. The doors of the church are open, whoever you are, my brother, my sister. Remember, this message is to God's own people. To remind God's own people that God desires close and intimate fellowship with you. There are just some things God needs you to be close to him for him to tell you and for you to tell him. There are just some things. And pardon me for just a moment. Just a moment. God will allow us to go through some things to draw us closer to him, to give us a more intimate relationship with him. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, speaking for myself, there is an intimacy and a closeness with God that I now enjoy that I've never enjoyed before. That there is a sweetness about our fellowship now. That there is an intimacy about our relationship. There are just some things God tells me now he's never told me before. There are some things I tell God now I've never told him before. There are some things God is showing me now that he's never shown me before. And there are some things I'm showing God I've never shown him before. And so sometime, my brother, my sister, God allows us to experience different things to bring us closer to him. Today, this is our last appeal, but today, would you just simply say, "God, I want to be closer to you. I desire you. I want to be all you want me to be," and give yourself to him passionately. Give yourself to him. Let him know that you want to be where he wants you to be. And I promise you, you'll experience life on a whole nother level. Things that used to matter don't even matter no more. Things that used to bother you and worry you don't even bother you and worry. Things you used to want, you don't even want them no more. You start desiring what God wants and what he wants for you. You start wanting to do what he wants you to do and wanted you to do for the longest. You start